לא ידעת, דבר המלך סד, שישרה בגודם, נופל העים הזה בישראל. There's two things. He said, Avner, Sar the brother, Sar the leader, people listen to him, he's the winners. And Godel is a person who's great, but he's a model for everyone else. That's the Sar the brother. That show, the Shushan Pugin, in Israel, among the Jewish people. Once I asked someone that 50 years ago in England, who did the Gaon of England? So he answered, I don't know, become home. He said, the first one is Rav Abramsky, and the third is this person, the fourth is another person. So he asked, wait a second, what happened to the second? He says, there is no second, because then he would have to be compared to the first. There's no one like the first. The godness of a pioneer, in our generation, he's the first. There's no second. And that we lost it. The good one that's alive, among us, elevates the whole world. He's a good one. He's a model. You see him walking. You see him living. Everyone else can identify with him. He's all, I'm also alive. I'm also living. Once he gets relegated to the storybooks, he becomes a fantasy figure. Something I cannot ever be like someone from the books. That's why he elevated the Dalai. Tzaddik said, I know. Tzaddik elevated the entire generation. Because people feel as a human being that I can identify with, that I can grow to be like him. I have the same mind, the same body. I can be like him also. And that's why the whole generation falls a notch. Falls a tremendous amount of notches. If you saw the little that fell to his throat. Chaim, another brother, was a godel who would have been considered a godel in the pre-World War II era of Europe, when the Kaiser was less than tens of millions of was the mayor of Chaim Weizen. He would be considered a godel in the East at that time. He wrote a sefer on Egla Bufo. A whole sefer, a thick sefer, and just one bit of Egla Bufo. Someone became Chochem himself, and he even told me when he saw the sefer. He said he doesn't see a difference between him and the Ragachar. The Ragachar. He thinks he's looking at the Ragachar when he sees this sefer. And the gods. Before the Second World War, a god of another generation. If they were ever, the last generation before, a cycle and El Yoshi, who also said to them, were buckled to his das. I remember when I was a little lad, we built Nachum Menucha here in the Shemesh. And they found that Aska Kadisha, an organization that protects Jewish Kvorim, they found some Kvorim, Jewish Kvorim, outside the building site of that area. And you could continue building, but you had to have a big expense of making it septepa, of making concrete building over the Kvorim. So the question, they came to us and said, you're building buildings here in Nachum Menucha, and this is outside the city where you're building. You have to pay for the construction of this cover over the graves. We said, no, we're not machuyish. It's outside the city. It's not when we're in the building. It's outside the building. So there were becoming chachomim on the bar at that time. They all said, no, they went to Rabbi Yoshi and asked him, do we have to pay for the building of this construction? So he says, no, I don't know any mocker. Why is he responsible? Because he's building a building that you have to pay for construction outside the city. But he heard the clients said, but you have to build it. And we have to pay for it. He went back to Rabbi Yoshi and said, clients said, yeah, we have to do it. We have to pay for it. He said, go and ask him why. We traveled all the way down to Lega. He asked him, why are you? Why do you say we have to pay? He said, that's the Sefer Hasidim. It says, Sefer Hasidim, one of the it says that when there's a camera outside the city, it's not covered, then it's a sakona to all the people in the city. No? So we have to pay for it. He went back to Rabbi Yoshi and told him what the client said. Sefer Hasidim, he said, he's right. We have to pay for it. And that shows his bikiyas in this respect is greater than Rabbi Yoshi's. Because bikiyas not in Shas, Rabbi, and Shomi, and Sefer, and Sefer, and Sefer, and Sefer, bikiyas in the Sefer Hasidim. That's how his godless. The song that he wrote, the song that no one ever touched, the Sugiyas that he wrote, no song of the Sugiyas. He had to be a book of Bishas to write on his Yom, but he wrote on his Yom on his Sugiyas. And he wrote on his Kabbalah, like I mentioned before. I once had a shayla in my of a mezuzah in my house. It was in the barrack shelter. It was a door that's only used for going out in emergencies. Never used for going in, but we had to put a mezuzah in it. So I went to the stifler. I went to the stifler who lived across the street. And I asked him what's it in. He didn't know. He wasn't sure. So Chaim walked by. So he called him over and he asked him what's it in. So Chaim got him a immediately and I did like I said, do like a five girls. Once he went out of shul in the morning, and it was the day of the Tkufas HaChamo, the Yerocha, on sunrise, Tkufas HaChamo. Someone noticed as he walked out, there was a fruit tree in the yard of the shul still was there. When they built the shul, they built it around the fruit tree because they didn't want to destroy a fruit tree. And they noticed that the fruit tree had fruits on it, beginning of fruits, and he has to make a bracha on the fruit tree. So, what's the thing? What comes first? The making a bracha on the fruit tree, or making a bracha on the sun? Stifler didn't know. Everybody's standing here ready to make the bracha, and they don't know what comes first. But Rav Chaim brought a guy from a foolish Gemara, I don't remember the guy. Rosh Hashanah, that the bracha of one or the other comes first. I don't remember that either. But I remember that shot. And the stifler agrees. That's the Bikiyas, the unbelievable Bikiyas that we had. And the Bikiyas, people, friends of it just told me the other night, he says he didn't have a good memory. He didn't remember people didn't remember things that happened, but there's nothing he forgot until. Because that's the only thing that is interesting. He had tremendous love of Torah and was a Maskin and didn't want to do anything else. He didn't want to learn how to dial a telephone. He never knew how to dial a telephone. He didn't want to take time. He didn't look at street signs when he walked because the Chazal say, Zohar Mitteh didn't answer the person's mind, push out the Divrei Torah from it. He didn't want to have Divrei Torah leaving his mind. He didn't read street signs. Unbelievable, he was it. He knew his tafkis to learn, and he did nothing but say. He learned by Shmuel Rabbi, has so many. I used to come into shul. I came to shul first year, I moved in the area. They had a Pesach, it was a Bahor, and they make a seal so the Bahoras should be able to eat. And he made a seal on the Sechta Yidin. Very nice. Next year I come in, they have a Pesach, he again makes a seal on the Sechta Yidin. I asked him, I don't know, you're not wrong, Sechta. No, he makes a seal of Shas every year. Every year he made a seal of Sechta Yidin. How is one of the Hafusha? Someone told me that his friend was his Hafusha once. He drank 8 blood a day, early in the morning, 5 in the morning, 4 in the morning, I don't know. 8 blood a day, 7 blood because he finished Shas. 7 blood a day in 1 year, but he learned the other daf was to cover the Mishnayos. They're not included. He learned one daf of Mishnayos also, like his Zoyim and Tayas. Then he had story in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, he learned this, my friend's friend couldn't keep up with him. He couldn't keep up the pace of learning. That's what he used to learn. 8 blood a day. That's more than limited. I came here as his royal. He was unknown. Just we knew that he was a young man, 18 years old, I think he wrote on the Rambam. All the Mekoros, the sources of the Rambam, which the Keset Mishneh left out, he writes Rechum. He wrote a whole sefer of those Mekoros. Imagine. So it is. Someone came to me, a very rich person, an American, who wanted to make a super clinic in Arizona. To get the best thing of life that there are, and to get the best Oshkoyim that there is, and pay a large amount of money to the life, and very unfortunate to the Oshkoyim. So, I came from America just then, and so he knew me, and he asked me to approach him. I didn't approach him, I sent someone else to approach him. He asked him if he would become this Oshkoyim. He laughed at him. He says, what, I'm going to take that class to say, Shiloh, I'm in the middle of learning. How could I undertake that? You think the position of I came to America, what else is more important than a position and money and COVID? That you left at that how about me? Sitting alone. At that time, someone just told me this before I left America a few days ago, someone told me that Avraham is a kind of author, the Rashid of Baltimore is known as a world famous guy in the bottom. Came to Arizona, took a trip to Arizona, I think it was the Masses in the hotel. It was about 50 years ago. 55 years ago, I think it was. And when he came back, so this person told me a story, he was close to the Ramani's works in the Yeshiva, Mount Holland Yeshiva. So he went over to Abu Dhabi and gave a show. And when he was there, he asked him, what was the high point of the trip? Your trip to Eretz Yisrael, what was your high point? The Rebbe told him, my high point? And he beamed with sympathy. He says, I bought a mantle for a Sefer Torah. A mantle for a Sefer Torah? Shia. Excuse me, we don't need any mantle here in Yeshiva. And besides, how would you know the size of the mantle? I'll tell you what happened. I met a younger man. I spoke the learning with him. I saw before me a God of Israel who was going to be the man in Yadur the next month. I was just unbelievably impressed. And I noticed that his jacket was torn. I took out money and I said, I want to buy you a new jacket. He says, no, I don't take money from anybody. He said, if you walk into a shul and there be a secretary with a torn mantle, would you take money out and buy a new mantle for the secretary? He said, yes. He says, you're the secretary and I want you to put on a new mantle. He took the money. And that was the high point of the Ludeman's trip to America to Eretz Yisrael. that he bought a mantle for Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah. That was 55 years ago. Since then, he started on the Nihon. At that time, he wasn't giving brachas. It wasn't about HaKadosh, it wasn't about Moishas. That's the way they became that. Chazal say, Koshe, Sivukom, Shal Tzadiki, Mishvira Samochas. The loss of Tzadiki is worse, is more painful for the Jewish people than the breaking of the Luchas. Other Chazal say different things about Tzadiki and Shal Tzadiki. Some say it's Sreid as Mezamikdash, Chum Mezamikdash, different Chazal. But this was the Yerushalmi that says that Mishviras, Tzadiki and Shal Tzadiki is worse than Shviras HaLuchas. What's that marshal of Shviras HaLuchas? The breaking of Luchas. So to explain that, we have to keep in mind that no, the difference between the Luchas and every other part of the Torah. Every other part of the Torah is written ink on top of parchment. The Luchas are engraved in stone. It's engraved in stone. Why are the Luchas even engraved? Not written like the rest of the Torah. The Ramban says, to explain this, if you do see the Ramban says that the Luchas were like the Gelus of Klal Yisrael. Again said that, but if it comes again, you have to let him know the sample of the mitzvahs of the Torah, Kalas v'Hamonis. So the Luchas, the Sefer Dibros, are the Kalas v'Hamonis of the Kol HaTerekut. And they represent the mitzvahs which a Jew has to accept upon himself to become a Jew. So the Luchas were not just Torah given to Klal Yisrael, but they were the Kabbalas of the Klal Yisrael. The reason they were engraved in stone is to teach us what Kabbalas of Torah should be like. When you write ink on parchment, you take ink, it's a separate entity, and you paste it on parchment, a separate entity, two entities, ink and parchment. When you engrave in stone, the writing and the material that you write on are not two entities, they're one entity. They become one thing. The engraver is the writing and the material that you wrote on at the same time. The Vaishnava wanted to teach Klal Yisrael. But now that you're receiving the Torah, you're not receiving information. You're receiving Dvar Hashem, which will enter you and change you and make you into a different entity. The Torah will now become part of you, not something added to you, part of you. That's how Torah should be given, and that's how Torah should be received. The Kedusha of the Torah enters us and transforms us and makes us into different people. Koshe Sivokom Shal Tzadiki, when a tzaddik is lost, a tzaddik dies. It's worse than Shviras HaLuchas. Shviras HaLuchas, that type of Kabbalah Sater was lost. We weren't worthy of receiving the Torah because we didn't make the Torah part of us. Every tzaddik is someone who made the Torah part of himself. And when he dies, it's worse than Shviras HaLuchas, because that tzaddik is not a stone the Torah was written on, but it's a human neshama upon which the Torah is written. And that is the purpose of creation, that we should make Torah part of ourselves. The Torah of a tzaddik is part of essence. That's what the Chaim was. The Torah was part of himself. He didn't have necessarily a good memory. It's just like you don't forget where your right arm is. You don't forget a pasuk. You don't forget a chazal. It's the who loves, who sees. His essence is established. It's part of himself. Because the Torah was part of himself, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, I learned the Torah from Shimon Nikro Rea. Rea means a part of it. Someone learns Torah from Shimon properly, becomes a partner to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A partner in what? A partner in creation. The Rebbe Shalom says to this person, you make a zera and I'll follow it. The creation, existence, depends on its knowledge. And that's why his words change creation. Man was at my house a few days in America. He told me the following story. He used to daven. He was a man about 55, 60 at that time. He used to daven in Kodesh HaZanish. And one day at the daven, on Shabbos morning, he couldn't move. He was paralyzed. Everyone got alarmed. They had to carry him home on a chair. He couldn't move. He took him to a big professor in Tel Aviv. The local doctors couldn't diagnose him. There was a very big neurologist in Tel Aviv who told him that he has a disease, a paralysis, which takes 2 or 3 years to go away. It'll take 2 or 3 years to go away. A rare, but they know the pattern of the disease. So he went home, couldn't move. One day, Chaim, the Chaim of Bochum, came to Yivaka Chaim. Came with someone else, and he knocked on the door, lived on the second floor, knocked on the door, and he asked, who is there from his bed? Nobody is, his wife is not home. Who is it? He said, Rav Chaim came to Yivaka Chaim. So he says, wait a minute. All of this kaychas. He dragged himself along the floor to get to the door. He couldn't reach the door, and the door was locked. He couldn't open it. It took him so long that the Rav Chaim went away. He dragged himself again to the porch. And from the porch, he noticed that the Rav Chaim is getting into the car. Rav Chaim saw it. Rav Chaim, he called out. Chaim looks up and says, Rabbi Yitzchak, Avor Shloimeh, Avor Shloimeh. He's so proud that Chaim came to visit him. Amen, he answered. He turned around and walked into his house. While he was walking, Chaim saw that he's walking. He told his arm shaved his name, but he's walking. He told his later to Rav Chaim, you know, you gave me a bracha and I started walking. Chaim laughed. He said, there's a Gemara that said that Yisroel didn't have a gvul, and Yisroel had a gvul. It happens to be that I made the bracha at that time. They gave you a push line, but that was the end of the gvul of Yisroel. He had an appointment with the doctor, this professor, in Tel Aviv. He walks into the doctor. The doctor says, excuse me, are you Mr. So-and-so? Yes. You're walking. He says, yes, I got a bracha from the tzaddik, and I'm walking. The doctor collapsed onto the sofa. He said, what's his name? I have a few patients that have this. In Baltimore, a person that also works in the office, a common person works in the office, has a daughter who lives in Eretz Yisrael. She became pregnant, and the doctors took a sonogram of her on newborn baby in the third month, he said he has a rare disease. But it's possible to operate within the first week of birth and to cure the child. He found out there's a doctor in Boston Children's Hospital, that's an expert for this operation. And they wanted to make arrangements, go to Boston to have the baby and have him operate. So he went to Chaim to ask him whether they should go now or go later after the baby is born. Chaim listened to this, so he says, "Narishkat, your baby is perfect. There's nothing wrong with him." Doctors took a sonogram. They didn't know what to do. So the father, who's in Yeshiva, came to me to ask me, what should they do? She listened to Chaim, but she listened to the doctors. I said, I didn't know what to do, but I thought over. I said, listen to Chaim. They took another sonogram in the eighth month. It was the same thing. They had arranged for this doctor. He's a very busy man. They had it. Chaim said, no. He went back there and said, the baby's perfectly normal. So he didn't arrange it. The baby was born perfectly normal. She's about 5 years old now. I'm waiting. How do you know that? I have no idea. I think because he said that, the British will change the baby to a normal baby. That's a shot. The other way. Vikavea. The truth of my separation is someone's mouth never stops learning Torah. Torah is not Talmud, it's not physics. It's not biology. It's Kedusha, it's the Dvar Hashem. Someone who has Dvar Hashem always in his mouth. That mouth is Kedush. He's a Chetz of a Sefer Torah. The Gemara says, if you're standing next to a Jew that dies, you have to be Korea, Korea, the Moses, Lehman, the Sefer Torah, Shadishkaf. It's like you're present. But it's a Torah that's burnt. You have to tear Kri in. This is not like a Sefer Torah. This is a Sefer Torah. It's a Sefer Torah that's made of us. It's Amish. It's Amish. It's Kredish. Epidition. His whole body, his veins were turned. If he'd cut up his veins, it would be different to him. See, the Torah should be stopped. A month old for a Sefer Torah. He was a Sefer Torah when he was 35 years old. And when he became 70, 80, he became a true Sefer Torah. He was Maled the whole generation. Every Bacher heard stories about him. The stories are not just of Moshe, not just the keys. The stories are how Torah transformed them into being a different type of person, patient. This is everyone's Narishkeit, calmly, always the Simcha. He was always the Simcha. Full of jokes that he cracked, but always with the Chazal, not some a joke. Also, Chazal, a pun on a Chazal, never vomitated, never something. It was not. It's not even to end. When we think of even Botel and Botel to Chazanish, in his house he grew up, we see that his Chazanish is just beyond us. But we lost a Saba Godel, we lost a mama, our children can't see a human being that turned into a mama. A human being that the Kedusha Sater was part of it. He sent us with Malchus and Mishola, the Torah gave him Malchus. Netanyahu came to him to convince him to permit the Hadarim to open during the going. prime minister, as he did Chaim Kaneski, he did Six and Learns, to permit the schools to open. People were shouting, hollering. What a bizarre it is for the country, the prime minister has to ask him, but he knew that whatever he does will be accepted by an enormous amount of people. And the newspaper tried to send a reporter to find out what's behind this Chaim Kaneski story. There must be some business behind it. He must be making some money. The poor Candace died herself. And investigated, he made, you know, an investigation of what goes on. They ask him for money, they promise things and they don't keep. He couldn't find anything. He just was dumbfounded. There's such a thing in this world as someone cruel and smart. It's only MS, the only one's tender, only one's glorious. But it is the Bar Hashem. You saw Bar Hashem entering into human being. I remember when I was a bocher, I heard the hester of Mrs. Alma Meltzer. One of them, Mrs. Alma Meltzer, by a Baron Kotler. And he said, a Baron Kotler said, there's a Gemara, it says that the Levi, someone teaches Torah, you have to have 600,000 people. You should be allowed to tell the people 600,000 people. The Gemara says, why? The taking away of Torah is like the giving of the Torah. Just like the giving of the Torah to 600,000 people. When the Torah is taken away, you also need 600,000 people. The question is, why? Why is it also like missing also? Why is the taking away of Torah like the giving of the Torah? The Baal said that when a Godel dies, his needs, his Torah, his attitude to Torah, he comes hefter, and everyone can acquire his Madrega in Torah. It's hefter for everyone to be serving. So therefore, when a tzaddik dies, there is a matan Torah at that time. You just have to receive it. You have to be ready to receive it, but there's a matan Torah at that time. So the time, this time, the Ptira Rochaim is the time when we can accept it for ourselves. We can't be Rochaim. But it's very difficult to be there. But we should accept some need of his, some part of his. Just maybe to make another seder and turn another hour to learn. Travel. To do something to get that, acquire that need of the seder turn that was burnt. See what Torah can do to a human being. See the Torah is a chesed. So the tzius is a thing. Torah, learning Torah is a thing. It's a reality. It's something that transforms you. And the more you learn, the more it has an effect on you. We saw it. The more it has a mother, the more connection it is in the person. The point that it becomes, his mouth becomes the mouth of it. Of the Rebbe Shalom. Nicharea. We can all grow, and this is a time of accepting upon ourselves to grow. This is a time of accepting upon ourselves that our children learn Torah with Mar's mother, give them Kovra Torah, give them, show our respect for Torah for the children. To show that this is what we want them to become. The greatest thing that they can become is a godel batera, and a doctor and a lawyer. That's not it. Yibachutz, that doesn't transform you. The greatest thing possible to be a godel batera, yourself, Lord, is accepted in ourselves. Be that type of, a little bit more, that type of person. The Amen Yisrael, the Manishon Jesus, always be bearing, will always be having bearing that we're worthy of. Let's be the stuff we should be worthy again and go to work of time. Someone can be a Sar, and a God will be his Sar, a leader to make decisions for us, and a God will have a model for us. They have children, we should even spell they have children, we should have a model. To know what it is, you should cool and tether. What it is to learn Torah with a torn jacket, to run from COVID, not to be mevatel a minute. The simcha of learning Torah, the specialness of learning Torah. And you'll be selected to achieve these levels of Torah for ourselves, for our children. We call ourselves his leisure, manhigim of this sort. Uvila, Movas, and Netzach, Mova, the Gary, Ivan, the Pony, Gary, Amen.